Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And thanks for your support.
The only Son from heaven, foretold by angels and seers, by God the Father given, in human form appears. No sphere his light confining, no stars so brightly shining, as the morning star.
Setting there the Epiphany emphasis as we begin to look forward to Sunday morning, not just to a Sunday morning, but to another Sunday in the Epiphany season. It raises a question. It's pretty clear that Jesus is revealed in the star that appears and leads the Gentile wise men to worship him in Bethlehem. It's pretty clear that Jesus is revealed when the Spirit of God descends on him bodily as a dove, and the voice comes from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." That's all revelation of Jesus. Is there more revelation of Jesus as the Epiphany season continues, especially when he encounters not only John the Baptist, but his own disciples? We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fekencher joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
So we had last week the revealing of Christ, a star over Bethlehem. Jesus' baptism was there on Sunday morning, this voice saying, "This is my beloved Son." The Spirit appears. How do this week's propers continue that revelation of Jesus?
Yes, this week continues what Matthew will do for us in year A for the rest of the Epiphany season in an interesting way. Of course, yes, you're right. These first days of Epiphany, Epiphany Day itself, and then the baptism of our Lord are huge, huge events that reveal that Jesus is the King of the Jews and the Savior of the whole world, that he is the Son of God, the one in whom the Father is well pleased. These are very big, dramatic events. And certainly, events are very, very revealing as we see who Christ is. But Matthew's gospel and the pericope system for year A that uses Matthew's gospel really functions more to reveal Christ through preaching. In Mark's gospel, next year, year B, it is primarily miracles and events that continue to reveal Jesus after the day of Epiphany itself. In Luke, it's a combination of the two, preaching and events. In Matthew's gospel, yes, we'll have some events also next week, but for the most part, this Sunday and then the Sundays that follow will focus on Jesus being revealed as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, by proclamation, by words that are preached about him. Or a couple of weeks from now, we'll begin several consecutive Sundays through this year A Epiphany season that look at Jesus preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' own preaching that also reveals who he is. So, during this year, Matthew, year A, we're especially going to see Jesus revealed through the proclamation of the word, and this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, of Epiphany, year A, definitely gets us into that kind of mode. We'll see how very much that is played out in the propers for this coming Sunday.
What do we find in the introit, the first proper that we'll encounter?
Right away in the introit this week, we'll hear this idea of proclamation, speaking, words being proclaimed that will be a big part of this Epiphany. Here's the introit for this coming Sunday. Psalm 19, verse 14 is the antiphon, and then the rest of the introit is also from Psalm 19. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. And the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119 gives us that magnificent idea that even creation itself proclaims that there is a God who is glorious, who is powerful, who is the creator of all things. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims proclaims his handiwork. In other words, to look and see that there is this magnificent universe around us, which even the ancients could observe, and sometimes with more acumen than we observe nowadays, it was evident that there was someone who was big enough, powerful enough, smart enough to create all of these things. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. It's impossible to avoid at least this natural revelation of God described here as speech, described here as a voice, which is in the creation itself. Even simply the fact that there is this magnificent universe around us is a kind of word of proclamation about God. But then the psalmist, probably David, concludes Psalm 19 by focusing us in really a much more important way. From that kind of general revelation that everybody is able to see, he then says in the antiphon, which is again actually verse 14 of the psalm, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." In other words, while general revelation, the things we see in the universe, pronounce to us that there is a God out there powerful enough to create all things, there is also a word that comes in a spoken way, the words of my mouth, David says, which proclaim much more than just this general revelation, this existence that God is out there. And that's crucial, because if all we had was the announcement that there is a God out there, we would always be at best uncertain as to what he would be like, and at worst in great terror that someone so big, so powerful, so mighty that he could create the universe is watching over us. That's a cause for terror if we don't know how we stand with this God. Therefore, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, give us something much, much more. They reveal to us that Yahweh, the Lord, is our rock and our redeemer. And that, of course, is what we're going to see proclaimed throughout the propers of this day, and as Jesus himself speaks later on during the season of Epiphany. A wonderful thing to know that God speaks words to us, real audible words, real physical words that we're used to receiving that speak to us as God being our rock and our redeemer. And the last note also here is worth observing, because it leads into some of the other things that are crucial for our propers this week. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That is to say that everyone in all creation, God wants to be aware of his presence. So then, we'll also want everyone throughout creation, through the whole world, to know what this great God is really like. And that's going to take those words of my mouth. The propers, as we go through them today, will flesh out what are those words? What is the content that comes out of our mouths, or out of someone's mouth in other cases, that really are for all people, for the ends of the earth?
The collect is essentially a prayer for peace.
Yes. And it's a really very simple prayer that picks up on one aspect we've just been looking at. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Here we see one element that we just mentioned from the intro, that this almighty and everlasting God governs all things, that he is in charge of all things, and that is to say everyone who's ever lived in any corner of the earth is part of his jurisdiction. He really does control everyone who's ever lived, and that's an important element to recognize. Just as we said, everyone is really aware of his presence just from the general revelation of creation. But then our prayer is that we and all people would recognize the peace that God actually desires to give. That is something that, again, we could not recognize from general revelation. Realizing there's a God out there, we would wonder whether we were at peace with him or whether he was always angry at us. And there's plenty in creation to suggest that God might be angry with us all the time. So we pray instead that he would grant us peace through our days, and that's going to come by his speaking to us the revelation of Jesus Christ in much more than this general revelation. That's going to come through the actual speaking of the word that we'll be talking about. And, of course, the collect always reminds us that it is through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, on this Tuesday, January the 10th. We talk about the gradual. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us. Stay tuned. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
O morning star, of morning star, shine with a bright glow.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org.
Morning star, how fair and bright you shine with God's
sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Second stanza of the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. We're looking forward to the second Sunday after the Epiphany with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. This gradual for the coming Sunday, although it's a small thing, and as you have often said, is kind of the key for understanding the theme often on Sundays. This one kind of gathers all of Epiphany together, including, although it's from Psalm 117, some stuff we heard last time in the psalm, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Take us into that.
Yes, the gradual, as you said, is thematic for the entire season. So we'll hear this same gradual throughout the Epiphany season. We actually heard it last week as well. We didn't have time to talk about it because we were so packed in, but we'll hear it again and again in subsequent Sundays. Here it is. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, and come into his courts. A couple of things to note, and there are other things that are relevant for other Sundays of the Epiphany season, but we've already talked about how Christ came for all people. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. That was revealed so beautifully in the Epiphany event, the star that was able to be seen by the Gentiles and led the Gentile Magi to worship Jesus. That's certainly going to be significant in this week's propers as well, because we've already talked about how all the ends of the earth can see that there is a God out there, and we want all ends of the earth to know that he came for them. And the gospel reading from John's gospel coming up later will emphasize that. We also note here in the gradual that he is not just this powerful God somewhere out there that we would know only through general revelation, but we hear that great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That's only revealed when God speaks to us in Scripture and lets us know that he is gracious toward us, as the psalmist so beautifully understood. And our propers will remind us of that again and again.
Now, the next thing we wanted to look at was the first reading, Isaiah 49, where we are introduced to the servant of the Lord.
That's right. This is the second of the four servant songs, as they're known, in Isaiah. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, and then 52, 53 is the fourth and best known of the servant songs. But in each one of these, we have the prophet Isaiah speaking, not really for himself, but actually speaking for none other than the Messiah. And so remember, we're hearing how Christ is revealed this time in speech, in the words of our mouths, words being proclaimed. This time recognize that Isaiah is the mouthpiece, but he's actually speaking for Christ himself. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth, there we go, that mouth, like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, "For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Again, remember that this is a revelation 700 years before Christ came to earth, of Christ, by words being spoken, really, by Christ, although they are spoken through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. Listen to me, O coastlands, peoples from afar, all over the world. That's that theme we've seen quite a lot, and we'll see more in the Epiphany season. It reaches to the end of the earth. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. In other words, the Messiah, the servant of Yahweh, is going to speak like a sharp sword. His mouth is going to be proclamatory. When he comes and speaks, it will be God's own word. God has said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. In other words, all the Old Testament people of Israel were leading up to the one time that God himself would come as the new and complete and total Israel. What Israel as a nation could not accomplish, God himself would accomplish as becoming the new Israel. I've said, I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. It will seem that way when the Messiah is here on earth, because he will be rejected, he will be killed, he will look helpless. Yet, see, the Messiah is not without faith, yet surely my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God. The Savior would know by faith, trusting in the very words that God had already prophesied about him, that God would not abandon him, that God would accomplish his great will toward him. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. And this is amazing. He says, your job of saving the nation of Israel, well, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Old Testament nation of Israel was God's bearer of the promise for many, many centuries. But when God himself became the new Israel, he would not simply be there to save Israel, but it would be for the entire world to reach to the ends of the earth. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, even though he will be despised, abhorred by the nation, killed, nailed to a cross. Nevertheless, ultimately, every knee, even royal knees, will bow before this servant of Yahweh. And so, what we have again here in the Old Testament lesson is a revelation of who Christ is by words that are being spoken, initially by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, but really by the mouth of the Messiah himself, which is like a sharp sword, a word that goes out and absolutely will be heard throughout the world.
We'll take a break, and then we're going to look at the gospel reading for this Sunday, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. It breaks with the thread of Matthew and takes us into the Gospel of John, the first chapter. We'll get into that with Dr. Carl Fikencher right after this.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office. 314-416-8117.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you for helping us make budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Awaken, Lord, our spirits to know and love you more, in faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to
the only son from heaven stands a three. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Dr. Fikencher, the gospel reading stands before us. Now, it breaks the thread of Matthew, and we'll get back to Matthew next week. But this one is John, and I think it has something to do with something you said earlier about Jesus being revealed through proclamation.
Absolutely, it does. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42a, this is a magnificent text. And yes, Todd, just to pick up what you said, year A, this year, uses Gospels from Matthew's Gospel primarily, but John's Gospel is interspersed throughout the A, B, and C year. And this week's Gospel from John chapter 1 follows very appropriately after last week's Gospel, the baptism of our Lord, because what we have here directly plays upon the event that we heard from Matthew chapter 3 last week. And yes, next week we'll go to Matthew chapter 4, and then, as I indicated earlier, to the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But this is well chosen because it continues to pick up this idea that Matthew's gospel uses during the Epiphany season of Jesus revealing his Epiphany primarily being through words, proclamation. And the words here are some of the greatest words ever spoken about Jesus Christ. John 1, beginning at verse 29. The next day, he, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." We'll stop there, and there's more that we'll look at just a little bit later, verses 35 through 42. We'll come back to that. But pause here, because we have heard those magnificent words that John speaks about Jesus in verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yes, Todd, as you said, this is as magnificent a proclamation of Jesus as we could ever hear in words. These words are among most powerful ever spoken. In fact, really, one could break down that brief sentence by John into a sermon in itself simply by analyzing each word individually. Behold, look, see, here is something you don't want to miss. The Lamb of God. This is such a powerful image, certainly in the minds and visions of John's original hearers. When John the Baptist speaks those words, calling Jesus the Lamb of God, it conjures up literally millions of sacrifices that have taken place now for over a millennium, more than 1,000 years, almost 1,500 years since Moses was given the sacrificial system that we see detailed in the latter chapters of Exodus and throughout the book of Leviticus, where lambs would be sacrificed again and again and again, some every day, morning and evening, and throughout the years for special events as well. The lamb and other animals sacrificed were always God's way of saying there would be a time when the sacrifice, the big sacrifice, would atone for all the sins of the whole world. Every lamb that was sacrificed in the morning and the evening and at so many other occasions, one after another, after another, after another, being brought to the temple of God through all those centuries, reminded people that we needed a sacrifice, that we were sinful, that something had to be done to reconcile us to God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, but that sacrifice was coming. We can only imagine how many sacrifices the average person in the history of Israel had seen, how many lambs he or she had seen sacrificed, their blood being shed in really a gruesome way, but always knowing that this lamb and the lamb after that and the lamb after that was never enough. Nothing could be done that would be sufficient to pay for the sins of the world until the one sacrifice came. Just the sheer numbers over the sheer number of centuries would have built up such an anticipation that when John says, behold, look, don't miss, see this, this is the Lamb of God, everyone's ears would perk up. So many people had been going out to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, confessing their sins. That in itself was a huge event, but that, of course, was also just preparatory for this. So that all the hoopla, all the excitement that had been building up around John's ministry, crowds, multitudes going out, even the Pharisees and Sadducees going out to check him out, to find out why all the hoopla. Now, with all that activity, this superseded even all of that. Here, look, don't miss, behold, this is the Lamb of God. And what does he do? He takes away the sin of the world. What all of those preceding sacrifices could not accomplish, this one sacrifice would accomplish, and it would be for none less than the whole world. Remember how we've been seeing that from the beginning with our intro, how the Word of God has been seen in picture language in creation by the whole world, but needed to be revealed more specifically by the spoken word. Now that spoken word is happening right here as John announces Jesus to be the one, the Lamb, who would take away the sins of everyone who's ever lived in the whole wide world.
On the other side of this break, Dr. Carl Kent remains with us. We've got a little bit more of the gospel reading to talk about and the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as well as our theme for this coming Sunday. On this Tuesday, January the 10th, we're looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, the second Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, with Dr. Carl Fakentcher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.
Oh, Father, hear me.
Final stanza of the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Dr. Carl Fikentscher of Concordia Theological Seminary is our guest. Dr. Fikentscher, we left the break there with still more to say about the gospel reading from John chapter 1.
Yes, and we really could go on and on, but the big point, of course, is that verse 29. What follows the next several verses is John commenting on how he understood to make that magnificent oral proclamation, the speaking of the word, the words of his mouth that would point us to Jesus as the Savior of the world. He tells us that the Holy Spirit had come to him and revealed to him that the one on whom the Spirit would descend like a dove was the one who would be the Savior of the world. He says this was that he might be revealed to Israel. There's that word revealing. I did not know of him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. That's the Epiphany word, isn't it? Revealed, to be shown as the Savior of the world, and it would be the one on whom the Spirit would descend like a dove. And that's the last portion of this first part of the gospel reading. And we remember, of course, that even last week, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and the voice from heaven announced that he was the Savior of the world. All I have seen, and I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. So the summary of the first part of the gospel reading is that John, by his speaking, has borne witness of what we are to find in Christ Jesus. The last part of the gospel reading we didn't read before the break. We'll look at that now, verses 35 through the first part of verse 42, and it continues what we've been saying. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Once again, we see this week how Jesus is revealed as the Savior by proclamation, by speaking. John reiterates what he had said the day before. He looked at Jesus again and he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Once again, John has the fabulous joy of pointing to Jesus and speaking those magnificent words, "the Lamb of God," with all the magnificent baggage that carried for his original hearers, the sacrifice who would pay for the sins of the world. And then we see what happens when the word is proclaimed. The two disciples of John, heard John say this, and it had precisely the desired result. They followed Jesus. A large crowd had been assembling around John, some of them much more intimately than others, some who could actually be called disciples of John. people who were coming to him day after day after day to be taught by him. John never wanted the crowds to remain with him. He knew that his task was this very one being fulfilled now, to point to Christ and announce, this is the one you've really been looking for. So again, when he announces, here is the Lamb of God, two of those who have been dedicated to him, following him closely, do exactly what John desires. They hear that spoken word, the word from John's mouth, and they follow Jesus. Jesus sees them following him. He says to them, who are you seeking? Rabbi, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and you will see. But much more than coming and seeing as they follow him, no doubt that evening they heard much more from Jesus. As they had learned so much from John, being with him, hearing his teaching every day, we can only imagine how magnificent it was to sit at Jesus' feet that very evening and hear Jesus speak more and more of these magnificent words of God. The very same thing that our Old Testament lesson gave to us when Isaiah the prophet actually spoke for Christ, and now Jesus in the flesh, the one who has now become incarnate, the promised one, now speaks through his own physical lips, his own mouth, and these two disciples of John hear those magnificent words. And of course, what happens then next is also very much in keeping with John's intention and Jesus' intention. One of the two who heard John speak and now followed and heard from Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And what does he do? He goes and finds his own brother Simon and speaks, says to him, we have found the Messiah. The very same words, really, that John had spoken. We have found the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ, who is none other than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the way through our propers, we've been hearing so magnificently how it is that the spoken word points us beyond general revelation, beyond just knowing that there is a God out there who's big and smart and powerful and could create the world, to now realizing how that great, powerful Creator God is disposed toward us. We realize that he is gracious toward us when the spoken word announces that he comes in the flesh as the sacrifice to take away our sins. And so, Todd, that brings me then to my theme for this week, and it's worded in such a way as to recognize we've been going a lot of direction already. It begins with the word and, and it's this way. And just what do the words of his mouth reveal? The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Those words of David's mouth that he spoke about in the introit from Psalm 19, the words of his mouth that he spoke about actually speak words of content. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's who this great God is out there. It's what we pray for in the collect. It's what our gradual also reminds us of. It is the very words that we hear spoken through our Old Testament lesson. What is that word that is spoken by the mouth of David, by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, by the mouth of Christ himself, and certainly by the mouth of John the Baptist? That is, that this Jesus is none other than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who has come as the ultimate fulfillment of all of God's proclamation to us.
What would you say of our epistle reading? How does it fit into this?
Just as a footnote, really an exclamation point to everything we've been saying in our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is a beginning of a fairly continuous reading through 1 Corinthians during these Sundays of the Epiphany season, year A, Paul now is going to talk also about the fulfillment of all of those words of prophecy. Listen to how Paul identifies the one who has been prophesied, the one who is now revealed all along. Listen to how many times you hear the name of Christ Jesus spoken in 1 Corinthians 1, the first 9 verses. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul realizes exactly what John the Baptist proclaimed, that everything from the very beginning, through the mouth of David, through the mouth of Isaiah, and all of the Old Testament prophets, in fact, all of God's plan, God who governs all things in heaven and earth, as our collect tells us, all of those things have been coming to this point, more specifically, this person, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now in our epistle lesson, Paul says, again and again and again, everything I'm now going to speak about in this epistle, this letter to the Christians in Corinth, is about, is in, is through, is as a result of Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That, as Paul says in verse 5, is how we were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. That's what the words of our mouth are to be proclaiming all the time, as the words of God's spokesman have spoken those very words to us.
How would you summarize all of this?
Well, I think in all fullness we would say that it is about ultimately the speaking of the word. And so again, my theme is this, and just what do the words of his mouth reveal? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the word of God from first to last is Christ Jesus, pointing to him. That's what is revealed in this season of the Epiphany. And in the coming Sundays, we'll hear that continually revealed, again, primarily in this year A, through the spoken word.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're going to be there at Concordia Theological Seminary 1 week from today, broadcasting live from the annual symposia, January the 17th through the 20th. This year's themes for the symposia, the spirit of the Reformation, exegesis today, and the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, continuing the celebration. We'd love to see you there. Find out more at ctsfw.edu/symposia. That's ctsfw.edu/symposia. The annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, January 17th through the 20th. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd. It'll be a pleasure to have you here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, a brand new series with him on the conscience. The conscience is, well, it can be a lot of things. It can be seared, it can be troubled, it can be terrified, it can be, in some cases, well, for all intents and purposes, almost non-existent. And we'll get Uwe Simonetto's reaction to a column in The Economist titled, How Martin Luther Has Shaped Germany for Half a Millennium. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.